final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Bubatron. Our 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new shows and new video games, to boldly go where no woman with a fro has gone before.
Welcome to another episode of Over 40 and Unapologetically Nerdy. I'm your host, Felicia Baxter. We're coming up on to the end of this crazy pants year of 2020. I'm going to just go over how I spent most of my Christmas watching some great movies. I mean, Wonder Woman 1984 was the bomb. Or was it 1986? I was pleasantly surprised by Soul, as well as just reminiscing all of my blessings as far as I was alone the entire Christmas Day and Christmas Eve, but I actually had fun, and I'm glad I was able to have some really great TV watching in spite of this snooze fest that was Star Trek Discovery, as well as The Stand. And again, thank you for joining me, and please leave me comments. Appreciate it. So I started this episode on Boxing Day, which basically is the day after Christmas. It's supposed to be a very, it's like the Black Friday, but it's after Christmas. Excuse me for yawning, y'all, but anyways. But it really wasn't all that peaceful here in Tennessee. I didn't find out until later on Christmas Day that there had been a major explosion down in downtown Nashville. And it basically took out a telecommunications exchange for AT&T for Tennessee, Kentucky, and Alabama. First responders, hospitals, EMS, they all had issues with connectivity. And I didn't really understand just how isolating it was, because number one, Walmart and other places were having issues processing debit cards and credit cards, were put on pause because although in AT&T, they basically ruled the world, evidently in Tennessee. Even some of the major or lesser, smaller telecom companies borrow or lease infrastructure as well as bandwidth from AT&T, like Cricket. They were offline for a minute. But it was also just an anxiety-provoking exercise because I realized that I was kind of late that, one, my work phone is on Verizon, but two, that I could only make a call if you figure out how to turn on Wi-Fi assist on your phone. It was also very disconcerting that what if I got out somewhere and I forgot my phone and something were to go down. I couldn't even listen to, excuse me, my podcast, which I usually do as I'm going places. And cash is king. I learned from a friend of mine, Erica, that you should always have a certain stash of just dollar bills and money on you just in case you don't get access to your funds from an ATM machine or credit card, because that would have been really realistic. Thank goodness Bank of America, either it had just came up as I was waiting for that lady to deposit her check in front of me at the ATM machine, or it was on a different fiber optic telecommunications network than the rest of the state. But now I know, and I usually do keep a certain amount of cash on me, but I was down to my last $100. But I had to replenish that, and I'm going to make a concerted effort to do that, because the type of people that persist in this homegrown terrorism is shocking. And just because they are singularly sad or have low self-esteem, they want to make us, the rest of us, to prove some weird point, because they still haven't found some manifesto, to prove a point of the vulnerability of how we are and the connectivity. I still think it's an inside job, but then again, that's just me. But what I am going to endeavor to do is, before my next several episodes, is start working on a vision board, because I think that is important, because as we emerge from this shit show that we call 2020, that I need some perspective, things that I want to be able to do in the new year. Get as healthy as not eating bacon every day will allow me to be. Connecting in a meaningful way with family members, my aunts and my cousins and my friends. As soon as we're able to travel again, I'm going back to Hawaii or some other tropical island. I need to be on a beach. If I don't get a pool in my next place of residence, I need to be on a beach with some salty water. If I don't get that heated saline-based converted hot tub infinity pool in my personal house. I'm just saying, we could be in lockdown for 2-3 years. Who knows? I just know that I need to be near a body of water. This episode, or in particular, what I usually talk about in my over 40 fictional podcast channel is Star Trek Discovery. In a word, it was whack. I didn't even upload the Instagram post for this particular week's episode. I was not impressed. I was not impressed with that, because Saru was he basically dictated the Star Trek logs, which I usually am impressed with, but it made me snore. So I was like, nah, gear. I wasn't all that impressed with SoCal, this week's episode. I was impressed with Tilly, being able to handle the Discovery. I was not, impressed with Green Girl, and her Andorian contingent taking over the ship. There was some good steals that I was able to upload, I follow many blogs and posts about Star Trek, but the new Star Trek blog post was actually pretty much on point, and that's where I actually got the photos that I uploaded to the extended notes section. I wasn't really with the action, and it wasn't all that impressive to me. It was just a weak storyline, and it was a kind of a snooze fest. I was impressed with Book using his Transformer ship to basically rescue Burnham and them, but the whole Saru led away mission and the discovering the cause of the burn, but without having the action that I've grown to expect and love, it was just whacked. I'm also going to let Viva and I, we talk about the stand later on, but I'll let you do that. What I was impressed with was, I'm glad I ignored those two and I spent more time watching the original Wonder Woman as well as Wonder Woman 1984. This actress is the bomb, and it's going to take me a minute to find out main cast. I'm going to look this up. It's cast of WW84, while I actually upload more pictures, because I am just floored with her. Gal Gadot as the main character, or as Wonder Woman, and Chris Pine, they actually had a connection, and I really just loved it. Connie Nielsen as Wonder Woman's mom, Hippolyta, Robin Wright as just kick-ass head of the general of the Amazonian. Ooh, that's fly. Of the Amazonian, I'm going to have to get this. The Amazonian infantry, it was just the bomb. I think, oh, and these pictures, I'm sure there's some copyright issues, but I'm going to have to download this because this is absolutely gorgeous. Gal Gadot is probably the coolest Wonder Woman on the planet. However, the original Wonder Woman, Linda Hamilton or whatever her name is, she actually has a bit small bit part in the end of the series. But this is just really cool, and I'm sure that Marvel actually has is going to have some video game that I am going to have to get. But as we go forward, these Gal Gadot photos are going to be the bomb. I just, wow, y'all, these are great. And I'm so glad that they just didn't make some white girl, the main character. Obviously, she has some melanin. I hate Kristen Wiig's usurping her powers. The beatdown that she actually got in this movie was classic. But this was the straight girls. I thought this was the straight girls. Oh, what's that other? Xena. This was the straight girl Xena, warrior princess. But who knows? It may be the next episode, because she renounced her the Chris Pine character, the Trevor character. Maybe she's going to, she may be non-binary and decide she's bi. But I don't care. I honestly think that this is probably one of the best superhero movies that I've watched in a very long time, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to watch it. I was also pleasantly surprised by Soul. I keep forgetting just how talented Jamie Foxx really is. He is a classically trained pianist. His voice is on point. Tina Fey, as I think she is 22, completely hysterical. Whoopi Goldberg as the crotchety old band leader. That was freaking classic. And both she and, well, not so much Jamie Foxx, his character, Teach character, but Whoopi Goldberg looked like that big hip, big hair woman. I just think she was classic. It was right. Her persona was in the caricature, so that was cool. And it was just a really good feel-good kind of movie. And I watched a whole bunch of other crap, and I've been binge-watching Hoarders, and it's all it's done is really make me vacuum clean and clean up my house. So that's always a good thing, if you know what I mean. Ain't not shopping. I'm just basically creating and creating stories. And this is how I spent being offline and how I manage my anxiety during the COVID panorama. Very interesting Christmas. Also, I'm going to just lead up to the recap of The Stand. I think both Viva and I have come to terms with the fact that we are probably just going to have to do recaps of the book itself. We're not going to be able to tolerate much more of how badly this movie or this limited series is. I'm glad it's limited because it's pretty whacked. I cannot stand it. And when I hear them talking about, I read this other recap or review on it, how it's supposed to, it basically is a little closer to the original miniseries. I don't know about that. They added a whole bunch of stuff. We have figured out that this is not for middle class women, black women that read, because we're going to hold them to the storyline. There is no original storyline integrity. It is whack. They didn't have to add any of this mystical BS crap. They could have stuck to the storyline and just, or at least one of the storylines in the original 1400-page series, and created something great, updating it, And using special effects, but no, they had to deviate off series, spend a whole bunch of money crapping up a story. It just, it's absolutely infuriating. And the garbage that they turn out and they expect us to like it, I think it's absolutely, it's just demeaning and I can't stand it. And I think it's worse than any of the Cardassian spinoffs. It is just that bad. We think we got one more episode to watch, and it's going to be a wrap, and then we're just going to talk about the book itself, because again, it's a 1400 page book. We got a lot to talk about, so there you go, and listen to our recap and see what you think. It's full of spoilers. I think you're going to enjoy it, but it was just really, this episode was just really difficult for both of us to watch. We have a lot to fuss about, don't you think?
Oh, God.
So, why I keep coming back to this, and I keep thinking about this, going on and on. Why go to all the trouble? Why spend all of this money and pick this particular book, this particular period of time, and you're going to do all of this to make it bad?
Well, first of all, no. I don't even know how much money they spent. So I'm gonna have to interject right there on that point, because all right, we'll get there, but I'm gonna just put that in the notes that I'm objecting on the budget. It only seemed like they spent that much money.
Probable cost of the stand. Let's just see. I need to put something in. How much probable cost of production of 2020 Stephen, make sure I spell King's The Stand. Hopefully that's not. Okay. A limited series between this director and to basically get series has a bigger budget and more violence.
Wait, but they have a bigger budget than, okay. What well, they wasted that money. We didn't get their money back.
Let's start right there. So for them to actually get it, to be streaming exclusively on CBS All Access, they had to pay a grip to get the rights to sell the story. And some of the special effects were, I think, are a little bit better than the you pointed me to the 1994 version. Mm-hmm. But why did they do, why all the hype, why spend all this money for it to be this bad?
I don't know, girl.
I started rereading again, because I was so confused on the first one. I really thought I had missed some of the storyline.
It's some a whole new characters. Story.
Yeah, some of these characters that I didn't even know. And then I was like, did I forget somebody? And I don't recall any of this happening at all. And let's just start right there. So again, this book itself, 1,400 pages, why couldn't you have taken at least some of the storyline and stuck with it and to make it more cohesive? And you still would have had, could have, money would have been better spent with some of the stuff in the regular stuff. You know what I mean?
I was like, yo, if I hadn't read this book, would I even know what the fuck was going on?
No. Not at all. I read the book multiple times and I still don't know what's going on. That's when I hit you up, when I asked you, who is this girl with, and Joe, I had to go back and I found Joe, and you were right. Mm-hmm. She didn't pop up to like chapter 38. Mm-hmm. It was like almost 500-600 pages in before you even found out who Joe and Nadine mm-hmm. were in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it would make more sense if the flashbacks make sense. You know what I mean? Because
I know what you mean. I don't know what they meant.
Exactly. And some of the stuff that it seems like they are focusing in on a lot of the really negative, and they're playing that up to a certain extent. My thing
and making just playing shit, but making shit up. It's like not it's like not only you're gonna make Larry the black man, but then now you're gonna make him black man that's like an addict. It's like Larry wasn't even an addict in the book, but now you're gonna make him black, so now he's an addict. I gave him a chance.
Larry
and now
was
I'm with you
a
and my mama.
And a narcissist, exactly. Right. But he wasn't an addict.
And it was that girl, it was Rita's drugs that it was her own drugs, you know.
And how it's like you go let and that's what again how Larry came through on the other side, and they weren't even in, they didn't even go into the sewer. They were actually in a Lincoln Tunnel. They didn't
Holland
have to
tunnel.
Put them in the sewer, and they didn't have to have the white girl save the black man.
You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, I might have one more in me. I don't think I definitely don't have eight more in me.
Okay, so let's go why I'm probably not going to be able to watch it either, because there's so many other good shows that are getting ready to drop in the next few weeks. And my other cousin, Randy, or not, it's not Randy anymore, it's Drake. He basically hit me too. I forgot that Wonder Woman 1984 dropped also yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'm mad. I'm equally mad because I cannot get back 2.5 hours between this nonsense and Star Trek Discovery. I'm a little bit mad, but I'm also mad about why are you gonna waste all of our time, do all of this hype, have such a diverse character, and you allowed them to not only subvert your storyline, but just make it, it doesn't make any sense. And did you do it purposely? You took these people money and you knew it was screwed up just because? That's what I keep
going. The thing is that it's bad to us. Maybe it's good to some other people. Maybe we're just not the audience. But let me tell you whose time they didn't waste. Whoopi Goldberg. Because she wasn't even in the second episode. They just had her voice coming out the bedroom. She was like, Larry, come play me a song. But she wasn't even in the episode. She was like, yes, I will take this check and I will be here as little as possible.
And maybe that's also the reason is because they changed the race of a lot of the characters. And I get it. In the time of George Floyd, changing the dark man to somebody white. And I think it's actually also critical.
No, but the dark man was white in the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, why did the dark man also have connotations with being bad in some way? I didn't pick up on him necessarily being white in the book. But it kept referencing.
Well, the thing is, in the book, he was like a shapeshifter type of person. Like it was like they were saying that he had been alive in different times and that type of thing. So probably in different times he was different races, but in this particular Captain Trips era in time, he was definitely they said he was
old, craggy, white, goofy, bumpkinish white dude. But why, again, if you're going to go through all of that to change some of the over racial connotations, but just make
not only did they change, they made it even more. It's just like they made it more controversial than it was in the time that it was created. Like,
and they didn't have to. That's the thing. They really didn't have to. And it would have made more sense and been just as entertaining, but it would not have been as so goofy.
We're not the audience. We're definitely not the audience.
Because we're going to shred it and we're going to be looking at this like, this was a waste because, again, you didn't have to do all this. Y'all deemed be a little bit team too much. Also, I was trying to say, are they also the absurdity of the black man's or the dark man's or power? Are they also making fun of, because it has been known that Stephen King really does hate Donald Trump. He's always hated him. And he's he's done a couple of op-eds. I've heard of a couple of things that he said about him. But Randall Flagg, Donald Trump, he's basically the dark, all-powerful, omniscient, and a total sociopath, and the leader of weasels. And he got people like the Crash Can Man doing his bidding, and the Lloyd character, the cannibalist that was in the prison. That was the only storyline that followed and made sense from the original
except for in the book, I don't remember them saying that Trask was black, but it's like, okay, you're going to make the black man the Kentucky Fried Chicken, but that's what I'm saying, like, racist for no reason. But also, I don't think that the Randall Flagg character was based on Donald Trump just because the original was written in, like, 1978. And nobody was thinking about no Donald Trump in 78.
Actually, go back in Donald Trump's history. That's where you got to read it.
I know. I'm not. I don't want to, and I'm not going to.
Exactly. But people were talking about Donald Trump. Even, I remember, Mork and Mindy, he would get... Oh, I was watching... this was the mid-80s. Balki Baltakamus. And from 70s into the mid-80s, he was the epitome of American greed at all the semblance of success and crazy wealth. But he had already filed for bankruptcy twice, and his daddy, before he died, had already bailed him out. So, but what I'm seeing now in the Republican Party about how many people have thrown in, believe his lies, even though he did some real shady shit, he's a cheater, and he's about winning by any means necessary. That is who Donald Trump, and that is, this reminds me of this Randall Flagg. Plus, it's the same syllables, Donald Trump, Randall Flagg, potato, potato. But I didn't think they had the whole pocket savior. That made me mad, because I didn't understand that. And that's why I got even more deeper into the book, because I'm like, that ain't the name of that record.
It was Baby, Can You Dig Your Man?
And I can't, all of this, it didn't make any sense. And if you go in the flashback and why the Joe character, that was the other thing that basically stuck too. When finally Larry met
Nadine
Arita. And Carol, why the Joe character, he didn't really like Harold and Cookie.
Yes, but also remember, by the time that Joe met Harold, because the thing is that he reverted back to like his norm or whatever, and his real name was Leo. So that's what I'm saying. They made him like they said he was autistic, like, oh, that he was just autistic, but he wasn't. He just was like traumatized from like the whole thing. And then afterwards,
By the time they get to Boulder or whatever, he had already started talking on the road.
Exactly.
So again, I keep asking this, what?
I don't know, girl.
I know the reason why. I don't like to watch a book that, since I'm all in and I've already paid for yes through January, you know, why would I go back and just get madder and madder? Do I want to see the final, when they, how are they going to build up to the stand or to the last action in the Rockies? That's what I actually want to know. How are they going to
do one more? With you. We'll see. I'm going to take it episode by episode. This is going to be a monthly, least weekly.
And it's good that we get the opportunity. At least we don't have to worry about not being able to rewind it and just having to leave it and go back to it. I don't think I'm going to be able to
watch. Who's rewinding this? Who's watching this again?
Oh, because I had to make sure I got something. I came up with something. I kept falling, like you kept falling asleep. And I had to make sure I didn't miss something. Or something like a couple of the scenes were just so disjointed. I thought I fell asleep, but I really hadn't. It just didn't make any sense. It was just completely disconnected.
I kept pausing to see how much time was left.
And that too. And that's why I know exactly how much time was wasted on this whole episode. So that's where I'm going to leave this. Do you have any more to say? I took some notes, and I was I really was just overall, I knew I was being nitpicky, but I think I'm going to have to agree with you. For a diehard Stephen King fan, maybe this is not for us because it is just so bad. And it makes me mad that people are not going to enjoy it properly because it's so disjointed. And that makes me mad over again. So it's not like I wrote it, but it's like, how are you going to let your work be played? How are they going to play us like this? Because this is stupid.
Yes, exactly what you said. I do have some notes. I do have more notes. Let me see if there's something that I didn't say already. Oh, I wanted to say, so you know when Larry was performing at the club and it was like, it sounded like the Outbreak movie theater, like where folks were like coughing and stuff. But I was just like, at the very beginning, I would say like beginning of March, like in New York, it was like that, like, you know, before everything shut down, like people were like, oh, well, we just go doing everything as normal.
And I can't even imagine. I think the last movie I went to was actually in February. And I don't know how deeply penetrating it was, but I still have all of my, like, my last ticket stubs from AMC. And the last one I bought was February.
I think the last movie I saw was Queen and Slim with you during Thanksgiving last year.
See? No, it was February 15th. I saw the photograph. Mm. And that was it. And I hadn't been to a movie since. And I don't recall, I knew I wasn't wearing a mask because we weren't aware of the panorama until March, and that's when we went on lockdown. So, but nah, again.
Oh, wait, can I tell you the other thing that was like messed up stereotype, but also I did laugh a little when Larry was in the hospital and he was looking for his mom. He was like, Alice Underwood, does anybody know where Alice Underwood is? The black nurse was like, good luck with that.
Good luck with that.
I was like, why? Why they got us represented like that?
And it looked like a scene really from the hospital in New York. So I don't know.
What can I tell you? What did not look like New York? Them clean ass streets. And I'm like, New York is dirtier than this. In real life, like just when it's not like post-apocalyptic, like I know it's not that clean.
Oh, that looked, it was a soundstage. They didn't make it. That was not authentic. It was obvious that it was a soundstage.
That looked like the set from Night of the Comet.
So, and I don't get, oh, I was thinking of, you remember, I'm gonna have to watch this again because I thought that was better. Independence Day, when they, he did the blast and the guy was like, it started running down the streets. Mm-hmm. That would look more authentic. That's bullshit crap.
Because they probably actually did film that in New York.
There you go.
This was not, that did not look like it was in New York. It was so much space.
It wide open streets. And the only thing I was, it kind of creeped me out with them blasting rats. I hate rats. And the bird and... Mm-hmm. It was just too much. They were trying to do too much, and they added a little bit. They really didn't have to add anything. They could have took what they had and use that money wisely. Mm-hmm. And it didn't. And that was how much they were when that article I talked about was actually from last year, August of 2019. So they wrapped this last year, and
clearly,
and it was not.
It is very tone deaf.
It was just not, what did they leave on the cutting floor? And if they could remake The Godfather 3 again, Scorsese did it again, they're going to need, let's just stop right there. Do they need to put this on pause and re-edit it?
They just need to throw I don't know. I'm sure that it's done. I'm sure it's been a wrap, like, for a minute, so they can do what they want to do with it. Like, I watched it on the Fire Stick, so I didn't care. I didn't pay for it.
But I wonder, it's like, if it goes so badly, will they just pull it?
No, because this is just us talking. This is some like you know, middle-aged, like, Black women, you know, like, nerdish, wokeish, whatever. Like, this, we're not the mainstream. So this might be, some folks might be loving this.
I wonder who these mugs are, because I need to talk to them. And why wouldn't
I? I don't need to talk to them ever.
My thing is, I'm like, I would give us a chance. You're not going to make it. We both got, you know, like, disposable income, and you're going to make me waste my money on this crap, and you still giving negative images of my people, and I'm supposed to be cool with it? Is it enough to take up a fight to ask them to remove it or just let it be? Is it even worth that? Is it just so whack? I mean, is it worth that?
Hey, it's your time.
I'm thinking, nope, I'm not even going to, I'm going to have to watch other things, because this is just not going to be one of them. I'm probably going to,
I mean, do you want to do one more? Because I'll do one more with you if you want.
Let's just do one more. But if it's worse than this week, which I thought was worse than the previous week, it's a wrap. And then we're going to have to talk about something else. mm-hmm. How about that? Let's do that. Let's give it another episode. Let's try to get through episode 3. And then we're going to agree to agree. That's it. Basically doing a recap on The Stand, because I can't go with this train wreck.
Shit, I'd rather just talk about the book.
And that's okay, let's think about that too. We can also just talk about how much the book, the movie actually completely deviated from the book. But I think I'm far enough in, and I'm gonna see your picture of these sticky notes, because that's where I get, like, I've all the main characters. I wanted to make sure I knew where it was in a book,
mm-hmm.
production, et cetera. Like, I'm at the point now with Trash Can Man, they've made it to, he's escaped the kid, and he is mm-hmm. ready to start the burning in the desert. And I know mm-hmm. a lot of people that have watched The Stand, they have no idea what we're talking about. But mm-hmm. I think we have 1,400 pages. It's long. It's just as long as The Promised Land, Barack Obama's book, you know. So we have enough in the book to keep the party going, where we don't need to watch that and waste time on watching that movie, the limited series, because it's adding nothing to our enjoyment of the original book.
Yeah, it's just making me mad.
This is really annoying. And do you have a copy of the book at home or on a Kindle or something?
I definitely have one at home. I might have one on my Kindle. Let me see. Mm-mm-mm. They were wrong for that.
So, and also, because it'll take a minute to download the Kindle, but the significant.
I know. Yeah, I have it. I have it on my Kindle.
Cool. So I'm up to page.
They done changed the cover to The Stand, talking about now a CBS All Access limited series. They need to disrespectful. This is disrespectful to their book.
Because that has that the limited series has nothing to do with the depth of the book itself. And if they had just kept with the original series, it's just as violent.
There was enough original racism in there too. You didn't have to add racism. There was already enough racism in the original one.
They didn't have to have the occult, the negativity, the dark. They didn't have to add any of that and just subvert the whole storyline to get this nonsense. Y'all paid several million dollars for this BS, and y'all could have just stuck to the script of the original, the book, and got all of that in a bag of chips.
Sure, they could have followed. They could have used the original, like what they could have did the 1994 one, but stepped up, like made it a more current cast that people actually know, like actors that people have heard of. mm-hmm. other than Whoopi Goldberg, and made the soundtrack better, made the special effects better, and it would have been fine.
Exactly. They didn't have to add any of this other nonsense. But again, I guess if they wrap this last in 2019, I guess they would, it's just tone deaf for that reason.
Mm-hmm. This is definitely, this, which is so funny because it's like, then they did this pre-COVID, like they probably could have made it more interesting. Like it probably would have been better if they had reshot it based on like current knowledge of like, you know, like, because the world is like a kind of different-ish place from like, you know, 2019 this time. So yeah, they probably would have been better off, but they probably had already spent the money there, like just put that out.
And they probably have their little schedules, and I'm sure get it in before the drop for the end of the year. They do just, I'm sure that it sounds like they do the production schedule years and a year or so in advance. So they say, well, we already bought the time, so, but I'm sure those ratings are whack because, again, I agree, it ain't for us. But I'm willing to.
I'm embarrassed. I told people about it.
Exactly. I ain't gonna tell nobody about it. I'm just gonna be fussing about it online. So there you go. And thank you for indulging me for this small episode, a very brief episode of Tennessee Fro, the Over 40 and Unapologetically Nerdy podcast. I'm so sorry. I'm usually such a Star Trek stan, but I just couldn't get with it this week. I thought the storyline again was whacked, and they need to do better. If you're going to expend this much money and renew for another season, you got to expect more from your writers. That's not really player haterism. That's just fact. Same thing with the Stan. Consider canceling it because, again, it's whack. But my cousin and I will probably be going forward and just talking about the book in general, since they are not paying any attention to the book. And it's completely not understandable given the rich detail in the book. And they didn't have to add anything to it. But I don't know. Navigate to my online bookstore, Chatterbooks, and get percentage off for your book reader at large. I got things from historical fiction just to the book club finds, as well as shipabagofdick.com. You can't go wrong with that. You can send gummy penises and 6-foot chocolate penises to people that are getting on your nerves anonymously. Writer's block coffee when you need to get your eyes open and get her moving. You can use my promo code Tim Frobus Reading at that site as well. And you know, you guys, that I'm dealing with it myself, a lot of anxiety and other tendencies, and I am having a little bit of an issue with the COVID panorama myself, but you don't have to suffer alone. If you can't use a podcast, you need to basically give the folks a call at 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255, where if you're struggling with depression or addiction, they are available 24/7. Or you can just hit them up on an online chat at suicidepreventionlifeline.org/chat/. And then you can call again 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP, which is 4357. Again, for 24/7 help. I think everyone should really get into the joy of this season. Thank our lucky stars that we've gotten through this shit show of a year. But sometimes it's harder than others. Some days are harder than others. And it's understandable. You just have to ask for help. And I always, as always, thank you for joining me. And I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I've enjoyed.